Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Mark Jackson back to throw, guns it into the end zone, intercepted! 2 yards deep in the end zone, intercepted by Taron Johnson, and he brings it out, and he's still on the run. He may go all the way. He's at the Baltimore 40, the 30, gets a block at the 20, 10, 5, touchdown! Touchdown! Taron Johnson goes 102 yards!
Murph, John Murphy on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network, love it, love it. Miss our guy, Murph. By the way, people ask all the time about Murph. We see him around. He's at the games. He comes by, hangs out in the radio booth, says hello. So great to see him when we can at home games. Chris Brown, of course, calling the games now, did a great job. That was an all-time call, one of the all-time plays in Buffalo Bills franchise history. And it was 4 years ago yesterday that occurred. Taron Johnson, his pick six against the Baltimore Ravens. I had read somewhere that the Ravens, Lamar Jackson led Ravens have not scored. That's the fewest amount of points they scored in a game, him starting, 3 points in any game. So you go back to that game and that night, and that was a special night right inside that stadium. No doubt about it. Taron Johnson, the pick six right there against the Baltimore Ravens, helped the Bills advance on to the AFC Championship game that year. In the meantime, Bills Ravens, Sunday, 6:30 p.m. We now get to the Western Hotline, where Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott joins us.
Coach Sean McDermott's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com.
And good morning, Sean McDermott, Sal Capaccio here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Good morning to you, Coach. Happy Football Friday.
Good morning to you as well, Sal. Happy Friday.
All right, Coach. We're just going to start right away with injuries, and I know people have been monitoring Ray Davis this week in concussion protocol. You've only had him and Alec Anderson on the injury report this week. Where do things stand right now with anybody and him specifically?
Yes, Ray remains in the concussion protocol. We'll see where that goes. And then Alec is trending in a good direction. We'll see today how he looks.
Okay. Your team, obviously, last week without Brandon Codrington, did you think he had a good week of practice? I know he's been a full participant, but from your eyes, do you think he's had a good week of practice as he after missing last week?
No, he has. Yeah, he's done a good job of getting himself back and putting in a good week of work here.
Sean, what did you think about Khalil Shakir returning punts last week and the job he did?
I thought he did a phenomenal job. He really did. You know, he's so steady stepped right in and did a real nice job.
Sean, you were awarded yesterday with the Greasy Neal Coach of the Year Award, and this goes to the award for the most outstanding coach in professional football, the 36th Greasy Neal Award. The Maxwell Football Club names you their recipient. How much does an award like this, you know, mean to you? I know you're all about the team, but a personal accolade like that coming from this type of organization.
Well, it's a huge honor. It really is, number one. And two is... it's a team award. I think that, you know, that's really what it recognizes is the staff that's around me, and not just the coaching staff, but the personnel staff, everyone in the building. This is being a head coach is a tough job, and it's a challenging job, and you're only able to do it when you have great people around you.
Sean McDermott on the Wester Hotline. Bills Ravens Sunday at 6:30. All right, Coach, let's get right into it. This is a formidable opponent, a team that you know, beat you guys pretty soundly on the scoreboard in week number four. You said earlier this week you learned a lot of lessons about that game. What did you learn? What did you learn about that game, and maybe the lessons that came out of it that helped you through the season and into this week?
Well, I mean, I think it's a snapshot really of adversity. On the whole, where you don't get the result you're looking for, and you go back and you evaluate everything that you can, from personnel to strategy to play calls, just to name a few of the areas. I mean, they're countless at this point. So you try and take as much out of that experience as you can. Certainly, when you look to play them again. Later in the year, and so that's an important piece for us. And now, as we get into the last couple of days heading into the game, is really the execution of those key learns that we took from that game.
This is a team, obviously, that can do it a lot of different ways with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. Talking with some of the defenders yesterday, being disciplined and understanding, you know, what your keys are, you know, how detail-oriented do you have to be this week specifically because of the read option, because of all the different ways that they can kind of attack you, I guess?
Well, they're an extremely talented team, and then when you add the scheme on top of it, there's a lot of dimensions to their scheme, you know, turning around and handing the ball to Derrick Henry, and Lamar Jackson and his ability to run and be explosive as well. Two very explosive players that they have in their backfield. And then what they're able to do in the passing game with the tight ends and the wide outs. So extremely talented football team on offense, and they're tough to stop because of it. And then they're able to play a complementary game because of, again, the roster and the talent on the defensive side. So they're able to rush the passer well, stop the run game, and get people into, you know, one-dimensional situations, as we refer to it, and then affect the quarterback.
We spend a lot of time here on the radio and in the media talking about, you know, the different personnel packages. Do they go base more? Do they run Taron Johnson? There's a conundrum here. Do we make too much about that? I mean, you guys have to go through that, but how much do you kind of have to sit down with your staff and really kind of map out what the plan is? Do we get a little too far in the weeds and overthink it, or is that what's going on with you guys as well, as far as how you have to approach the week like this?
Well, I think you guys are right. You know, you've got to look at every scenario, every situation, and figure out, you know, what's best every week, not just this week, mm-hmm. but every week. And so you do a lot of asking yourself, asking, you know, the staff questions, and going through a menu of options until you get to what you think is, you know, the best approach that helps you, you know, or gives your team the best chance to win.
Speaking of Taron Johnson, yesterday was the anniversary of his pick six, also against the Ravens, and we just had a phone call about it. We played the clip from John Murphy calling it. I remember being in that stadium that night. Of course, it was COVID, but it sounded like there were still 60,000 people there, even though there were only 6,000. What do you remember about that play, being on the sidelines, him running right past you guys down there?
Yeah, just a great moment for the Bills organization, and so happy for Taron. And, you know, he's a young man that works so hard, and it's just been a true joy to watch him grow and develop in life, but also on the football field here.
Sean, if the if you guys, you know, don't have the season you have, and maybe you drop another game, you're playing this game in Baltimore. How important is the fact that you're here in Buffalo, because these two teams were kind of on a collision course? Maybe the only question was, where would this game be played? Well, it's in Buffalo, and I know that you guys are thankful for that with Bills Mafia coming out.
Oh, Bills Mafia is undefeated, man. They're the best fans in the world, and just so awesome that we get a chance to play at home. We can't wait to kind of be side by side with them this weekend. And, you know, the game is going to be decided on the field, but they certainly are a big piece of every win that we have here.
All right, Sean, well, I'm going to say to you what I said last week. I think I speak for a lot of people listening when I look forward to talking to you again next week. Best of luck on Sunday.
Sounds great. Thanks, Sal.
All right, you got it. That is Sean McDermott, Bills head coach. So, yeah, not a lot here this week, right? It's all been dissected. And really, honestly, the injury report here is it's just one guy and concussion protocol. And by the way, if anybody's wondering, like, Ray Davis in concussion protocol. That's really all the Bills can say about it. He's in concussion protocol. That's why you don't go much further there with the head coach on that particular topic, because he's going to tell you he's in concussion protocol, and then we'll see where it goes from there. And my read of it is he has practiced 2 days. Today will be a third day, and then he has until, I actually think, I have to look this up to make sure. I believe you can clear protocol on Sunday morning, but generally you're going to know by Saturday evening, because the Bills then would have to make a roster move to call up Frank Gore Jr. or someone else. If that doesn't happen, I think things are trending well for Ray Davis, who, by the way, was wearing a Guardian cap at practice yesterday. So he was out there practicing and wearing a Guardian cap. A couple other notes here, okay, I want to get to. First of all, I've been asked a couple of different questions this week that I want to make sure that everyone knows the answer to these, because these are good questions that come to me from various listeners. And sometimes people even say, like, oh man, I feel dumb not knowing the answer to this. No. These questions are probably very much on the minds of people that they don't want to ask, or they don't know to ask, or feel weird asking. So I'll answer them for you. This is Getting Connected with Our Fans. And of course, it's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Number one. The Bills have Anthony Brown in as a quarterback to replicate, simulate Lamar Jackson. And as Sean McDermott gave great insight to the other day, he's the reason why you bring a guy like that, and he can run and he can throw. It's not like just putting a mobile guy back there and saying, okay, here comes a play, because the defense knows what's coming then. He's going to run around. With him, you can actually try to throw it. You can try and run it. He can do different things that, you know, Lamar Jackson would seemingly do. He's not Lamar Jackson. Nobody said he is, but you have to try to prepare as best you can. If you remember last year, Kingsley Jonathan got a lot of praise from Spencer Brown for acting as Max Crosby leading up to the Raiders game, and said he was a great kind of Max Crosby replica. And I talked with Kingsley and he said, yeah, I studied all his moves, wanted to make sure I gave him a good look. So that's what you do with Anthony Brown. The question becomes sometimes from people, well, how do you simulate Derrick Henry? You don't. Okay, here's why. You're not tackling live at practice. You're not putting a big bulldozer in the backfield in practice and running it straight at your starting defense and saying, go tackle the guy on Wednesday and Thursday. That's not how it works, right? So, yes, you want to have, maybe you put a bigger person back there to look like Derrick Henry because he's so big. And then you say, okay, that's him. And you know, but it's not like they're giving him the ball, running straight downhill and saying, Cam Lewis, go tackle him on a Wednesday. They're not doing that. So you don't have to simulate Derrick Henry at practice. He's a running back. You do with Lamar Jackson because you have to simulate all the things he can do. And you're not taking Anthony Brown down to the ground anyway. You're not tackling him at practice. So the question about how do you simulate Derrick Henry, you really don't, because you're not actually running live tackling against each other at practice, and no one's going to do that. There are rules in the CBA about doing that, by the way, and you're certainly not doing it this time of year anyway. Okay, number two. This is the big one I've gotten a lot this week. Sal, why are the Bills practicing indoors when they're going to have this really cold game they should be preparing for? Couple of answers for you. Okay? Number one, I don't know of any practice field that has heat underneath. All practice fields get frozen when it gets like this. So you're going to have a frozen practice field. And yesterday, by the way, you had like, I don't know, however many inches of snow you had in Orchard Park yesterday, but it was a lot. It was blowing. The only thing practicing outside yesterday would have done for the Buffalo Bills is to cause them to have a super unproductive practice. That's all. The ball would be on the ground. No one would be able to see. You might as well just do fumble drills all day. That's all it would turn into. Like, you know, and that's not the conditions anyway for Sunday. But the reason why you go inside is because the point of practice is to, drum roll, practice. That's the point of practice, to actually practice, to get in what you're supposed to get in, to get a productive practice in, to work on the things you need to work on. You can't do that when the field is frozen and snow is blowing all over the place. It's counterproductive. Okay, that's part of that. The other part is, are we really thinking that this Buffalo Bills team, after what you've seen over the last several years, can't play when it's 5 degrees out in a game, regardless of how they practice or where they practice or when they practice? Come on. You haven't seen enough of Josh Allen in those conditions? Or Dawson Knox, James Cook, whatever? Like, shouldn't we be past that point of, why aren't they practicing outside to simulate the conditions? It's going to be cold. Now, in August and September, I'm sorry, September and October when it's raining, maybe a little bit. Maybe you do that. Hey, it's going to be raining on Sunday. We got a little bit of rain. Even when it's not raining outside, you might pour the water on the ball to get a little simulation. That's not the case this weekend. It's going to be cold. They can handle the cold. They've done it before. We saw the perfect game in the cold, very similar conditions. And the Ravens are trying to prepare for this game. They can't go outside either because of why? Frozen field. What are they supposed to do? So you know what they've done? They practice inside, they open up the doors, they make it really cold, they turn the fans on. They're trying to simulate the weather conditions. I don't think the Bills even need to do that. They're not trying to simulate anything except have a good practice. They're trying to simulate Lamar Jackson. That's why. So I hope that answers that question and those questions about the Bills that have come this week. Let's go to Joe in Utica. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Sal. How's it going? Can you
good. Thanks for Thanks for hanging out through the interview and all that.
Yeah, no worries, man. I love you guys. Love WGR. Not to step on Butch's toes, but got a few points I want to make. You know, I'm one of probably the only guys I know out here in Utica that's just diehard, have been since I can remember my first memories. So I just want to say, excuse me, I'm running around doing a bunch of stuff.
That's all right. Take your time, buddy.
So I just want to say first and foremost, like, I think sometimes in sports there's just a vibe to a team. And I think we have that this year. There's a vibe in the building. I think it's obvious. And it starts with the leadership, with McDermott and Josh. I think you just notice there's a noticeable change in both of them this year. And I was at the game last week, row 3, 137. And I saw you down there on the sideline. And I think it's contagious. I saw you having a good time doing your job, of course, but having a good time. And I love it. And, you know, I also just want to say real quick, right before Thanksgiving, I had to put my dog down, and he was 16 and a half years old. He was a little black pug, and everybody that met him said he's not a normal pug. And his name was Roscoe. And you might wonder, or you might know, obviously not hard to figure out if you're a diehard, why I named my dog 16 and a half years ago Roscoe. And it was just the most fitting, perfect name for him when he was a pug. And since then, a pug won the National Dog Show. I was reunited with two very important lifelong friends that I had brief falling out with, and a couple other here's and there's that I think he's up there looking over us. They're looking over me anyway and guiding me a little bit. And I feel like he might just guide us to a Super Bowl. And I'm not trying to get all crazy and sappy, but I just have that feeling. And I'll get into some more X's and O's things I wanted to touch on, but that just kind of came to me while
I appreciate that. I will tell you, Joe, first of all, very sorry for your loss. They're like family, as you know. It's a long, great life I'm sure you gave Roscoe, and I'm sure he gave you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. Of course, Roscoe Parrish. I had a dog in the early 2000s that we named, my wife and I, we named Willis for these very same reason.
Beautiful. I love it, man.
I'll also tell you, this football season was our first year without our boxer, Roxy, who I talked about on the radio a lot, who was with us for 11 years.
Wow, I have a 13-and-a-half-year-old boxer. As a boxer owner, I'm sure you know that there's a dog
like no that. Doubt about it. No doubt about it. Thanks for sharing that, by the way.
No problem. But her name's Ruka. I'm a huge Sublime fan, so that's where that comes from, waiting for my Ruka. But anyway.
You got it.
That's the nose stuff. I think this is kind of, you know, one of those games where it's a lot of focus on our defense versus their offense, and rightfully so. I think our offense is going to handle business this time around. But I think this is obviously a McD and Bobby game, and I think really what it comes down to me is they need to stay on top of the packages the Ravens are running in and switch out our guys accordingly for what they think is the best counter. And obviously all week, you know, I listen to all the shows Monday through Friday, and pregame and all that stuff on the weekends. And everybody's talking about D. Will coming in and subbing in for Taron Johnson and all that. And I think, obviously, they're going to have a package for that at certain times. And when it's warranted, we will see that. Who knows how often that's going to be. But to me, what I haven't heard, and excuse me if you've talked about this and I missed it, but Cam Lewis. I mean, I think that the coaching staff has had a lot of faith in him. They've shown that he has earned their respect, which is big for this coaching staff. And I think that we could see Cam in on some of those packages as well, whether it's in for Taron Johnson or maybe in for DeMar or Taylor Rapp in certain packages. I think we need to take a look at that. And then just one final thing is this comic book. One of my buddies I was in the Marine Corps with always says that he says it's a Watchmen quote from this comic book. He says he's in the.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Comics, and he says, you know, I'm not, it's from the comic book. He says, I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me. And I think that's our mindset going into this game. We're not playing the Ravens. They're playing us. Now, we got to play them, but they're locked in there with us, too.
Yeah, that's so great.
And I'll listen to what you got to say.
Yeah, you got it. Okay, I'll touch on the Cam Lewis and Dorian Williams. You're not going to see Cam sub in for Taron. You're not going to see him sub in for a safety, but he will be on the field in dime packages. He has been all year. I can't imagine that would really change much, to be honest with you. So you'll see Cam, and I do agree that, you know, he's done a really nice job this year when he's been in those packages, and he's had to fill in for Taron Johnson. I do think you'll see Dorian Williams on the field. By the way, Marvin, if you're still listening, you will see Dorian Williams, and I agree with you, but he shouldn't be brought in if you do see him, it's going to be more of a 4-3. He shouldn't be brought in to replace Matt Milano or Terrell Bernard. It's going to be to replace Taron Johnson, really, and that's the conundrum the Bills face, right? So you will see that, and they will have to match up personnel, and I think they will do that in this game. When these two teams played 3-4 years ago in the AFC divisional round, that game we just referenced, Taron Johnson pick six, there was 78 snaps for the Bills on defense. 46 of them, Taron Johnson played. The other 32, A.J. Klein came in as a 4-3 linebacker. Just think about that and how they decided to play that. Now, no Derrick Henry, but they were still a very, very good running team at the time. Let's go to Matt in Orchard Park. Hi, Matt.
Hey, what's up, Sal? And it's going to be tough to top that one with putting down Roscoe. We put down Atticus in July, so maybe this is the year. But I also just want to give a quick shout-out to all of the Bills backers out in the Los Angeles area, specifically a close friend, William Scott, and his wife. I know that they were welcomed into the OC Mafia on Sunday, and we'll be watching the game down in Orange County. But just thinking of everyone out there, I know you have a ton of friends out there.
Yeah,
as well.
We do. Thank you, and you're right to mention the Bills fans that we've heard from out there, as well as so many others, obviously. But thank you for that.
Yeah, of course. And yeah, just headed into this weekend to try to kind of lift things up. But, you know, I just think it's going to be one of those classic one Buffalo weekends. We had an incredible Sabres game on Wednesday night in the arena, a crazy stat, you know, never before seen, and with a goal scored on no shots on goal, which is crazy. We'll head into tonight against the Penguins and hopefully pull the victory there. Tomorrow with the Bandits, and 48 hours or however many hours, 60 hours from now, hopefully we'll celebrate rounding out a classic one Buffalo weekend and, you know, really change what was a drought generation into the Josh generation, and I'm really looking forward to it. Give me the Bills 17, Ravens 13, low-scoring affair.
Low-scoring game. Okay, well, both teams might want to hold on to the ball and have that happen. We'll see. Thanks a lot for the prediction. Haven't had one of those today, but thanks a lot for that. Let's go to Clover in Texas. Hi, Clover.
Hey, Sal. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Okay, I have a question on the defensive line, but real quick, I always hear you talk about how you go on other shows, mm-hmm. like for the opposing teams we're playing. Is there any way we can find that? Do we just look at Odyssey?
So I know you are on Twitter/X. I know you are. I've interacted with you. A lot of times I'll post when I go on, but sometimes I don't. Yeah, I guess the only way you would know is if I posted I was on or going on, right? Sometimes I do. I try not to fill everybody's timeline up with it. But so, for example, today, hold on. I got another one today, right? What do I do today? Hold on. Today, I am going on WBAL in Baltimore at 12:30 p.m. How about that? WBAL in Baltimore, 12:30 p.m.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like that, hearing the opposing team's perspective, and, you know, especially when you interact with them too. But that kind of leads to my question that Jeremy and Joe had a gentleman from Baltimore on the radio show earlier this week, and he was really good. And they had asked him about some of the losses that they had had this year. And they mentioned that, or the guy mentioned that, you know, Raiders and Browns, that they had bigger defensive lines, right? Mm-hmm. It was Jeremy and Joe kind of like had this cringing sound.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, do you think like someone like Jordan Phillips will be more involved in this game?
I do. Yeah, I do. I think that this is the type of game where you're going to have to bring some beef up front. I think Jordan Phillips, I think Dwayne Carter could play a role in this game.
Yeah.
You know, I know he was inactive last game, but we'll see. Probably not as much of a guy like Quentin Jefferson in this game versus a guy like Jordan Phillips. You know, you kind of have your choice there if you want a little bigger or a little more of a penetrator from that side. Now, look, Ed Oliver is undersized. We know that, but you're not going to take him off the field a ton. Even in this game, you know, he's going to have to be someone that you rely on to try to penetrate, to try and cause a little havoc in the backfield. You know, it's not just the Bills still run a penetrating defense, so you got to be careful with, hey, let's just put big guys up there to clog it up. You still want to make sure you get in the backfield when you can to disrupt things. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then, you know, I remember when Jordan Phillips was here, you know, the last go-around before he left, when he was paired up with Ed Oliver, they really, you know, were wreaking havoc. So that would be neat to see if he gets involved.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll be listening today to you on the Baltimore. Yeah, I really do like that. Different perspective.
For sure. Yeah,
you know,
I went on
the questions they ask you.
Yeah, I went on the Fan over there as well. You know, this week, earlier this week, this is like the third time in Baltimore, and we've done that here. We have people from different radio stations come on, and yeah. So I appreciate that, Clover. I know you love football a lot, so thanks a lot for that.
All right, thank you, Sal.
Yeah.
Appreciate all your work.
Yeah, you got it. One more call before we squeeze in Patrick Hammer. Brian in Buffalo. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Sal. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, just a quick question. Did you agree with the play calling defensively that Pittsburgh did with Lamar, and how J.J. was just going right at Henry all the time? Isn't that considered, if J.J. decided to go straight at Lamar, that's a free shot, isn't it?
J.J., say it again. What you say, J.J. Watt you're talking about?
I mean, I'm sorry. I mean T.J.
T.J. Watt, okay.
If T.J., he kept going at Henry, the game plan Pittsburgh was, they would just grab when they had that option where Lamar could hold it or hand it off. If TJ went straight at Lamar thinking he was keeping it and put him on his back, that's a free shot, isn't it?
It is, as long as it's deemed, you know, not unnecessary and that he was actually a part of the play, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
It makes sense, but he is so good at that.
Yep.
It's almost impossible for a defensive lineman to make that decision that quick. So
here's what you do, Brian. Let me explain it to you a little bit, because it's a great question. And what you saw last week from the Steelers, there's a couple different ways you can play this, but basically it's option football. Option football is very, very, at the simplest form, man on man. When you see option, one guy takes the quarterback, one guy takes the running back. And the way that the Steelers played it was the defensive end went right to the running back, and then the linebacker came over the top to go to the quarterback in case he pulled it out, if that makes sense, right? Like an arc, right? So the defensive end, in this case, Watt, would go right down the line to the running back. The linebacker, who's off the line, would then spy Lamar kind of and go to him. You can do that. They also run a little more 3-4 in Pittsburgh. 4-3, you're generally going to have your defensive end go to the quarterback, and then the linebackers are taking the running back, generally. And yes, if he pulls it out, you can give him a free shot, as long as it's not, you know, well after the play pulling it out, I guess.
Yeah, no, I get it. And now with you saying a 4-3, because I just thought TJ could have had a couple clean shots at Lamar. And you know what? Then Lamar, you know, he could get hurt, then, or the coach could say, look, we can't do this anymore.
Well,
they can change the game plan.
They can, but here's the problem with that. If he did that, they would have just – he's not going to Derrick Henry, which is what his job is, and then they get beat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think I'd rather have our linebackers running at the kneecaps of Henry Russo or those guys are taking Lamar out.
Well, I hope you're not advocating for anybody getting injured. I get the point you're making, but let's not advocate for anybody taking anybody out and getting injured. But you do want to make sure that they feel you there and take shots. And the more you hit people, the less apt they are to be running or throwing. There's no doubt about that. Real quick, Ed Reed was on with Kay Adams this week, and he said something about this. And I love Ed Reed. I'm a huge Ed Reed fan. But I just think, I don't know what he was talking about. He said... we would just keep hitting Josh Allen because after a while, he wouldn't want to throw because it's been proven. Like, what has been proven? That is not true about Josh Allen. His defense back in the day with the Ravens, they would just destroy everybody, right? But I just didn't understand what he was trying to say there, which is a little bit in line of what the caller was talking about with Lamar Jackson. All right, Pat Hammer coming up after this timeout. Weather on Sunday, very, very, very important. What's it going to be like?
Break it down.
When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time.
WGRZ TV2 chief meteorologist Patrick Hammer joins me on the West Her hotline. Pat, we're finally here on a Friday. There's been so much about this game that we've been dissecting and talking about. It gets exhausting, but I'm glad we're here on a Friday finally. Good morning to you.
I'm getting like 30,000 steps a day in because I'm pacing, right?
Yeah.
Back and forth, thinking about this game, thinking about the forecast, thinking about all of the, just all of it, you know? It's this game's got to get here. High anxiety.
Well, listen, there's been a lot of talk about the weather this week, of course, and what these temperatures are going to feel like and be like. And I think there's been a lot of misinformation. So why don't you narrow it down for us? 6:30 p.m. Sunday night in Orchard Park. What are we looking at for the game time weather and then as the night progresses?
Sure. So here's the real deal is that some of the coldest air in years is coming into Western New York and Buffalo starting this weekend and into next week. The truest cold air actually arrives Monday, but the process of that cold air coming in is actually Sunday. Here's the for sure. It is going to be cold. I would call it frigid. The good news is that it will not be that windy. A kickoff temperature of about 17 to 18 degrees, okay? And then a fourth quarter temperature of about 13. So this is actually maybe just a few degrees warmer than the playoff game 3 years ago against New England. Still cold, no doubt, but there's not a wind element, really. So there will be wind chills. It doesn't take much of a breeze at that temperature to create a chill. The wind chills should stay above zero, probably in that single-digit wind chill category for temperatures. Okay. The other issue, though, is the snow potential. And that possibility has actually increased a bit, okay, for a couple of reasons. Admittedly, Sal, this is a really tricky weather pattern into Sunday into next week, okay? The cold air is pouring in, and that will generate some lake response in towards the stadium, meaning there will be some areas of snow, we believe, coming off the lake into the stadium for tailgating and during the game. I would like to say that it should be light, but when the air is very cold and the lake is still ice-free, even what looks like light snow can become moderate snow, a.k.a. yesterday, okay, where the snow got pretty heavy at times. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to replicate yesterday's weather, but there is a chance of light to maybe even moderate snow, okay? The complicating thing here is that just in the last day or two, not to get too much into the weeds here, but there's a developing storm that's going to affect the East Coast Sunday afternoon and Sunday night. And that has decided to maybe get a little closer to us for comfort, okay? Meaning there's a chance, if that trend continues, this kind of westward shift, there could be a general light snow or moderate snow for the game itself. So what I'm trying to say is there are snow chances, but they could come from two different places or two different sources, if you will. And that's why we've got to keep our radar up for Sunday in terms of the snow potential, because it is there.
Is there a drastic change throughout the day Sunday when people are arriving to the stadium for a 6:30 game versus the game itself versus the drive home?
Yeah, so the temperature is going to peak at around 20 to 22 as, you know, tailgates are getting going. That's like, let's say, in the early afternoon. And then it's going to begin to trail off. I don't think it's going to be a dramatic change, but it will start getting colder after about 2 or 3, okay? So by, again, kickoff, 17, 18 degrees, and then low teens by the end of the game. It is going to get breezy here, but not until the game is over. So we're really lucking out with that element. The wind that is going to come on Monday is not going to be here for the game. So it should still be relatively light with the wind and just a cold and potentially at times wintry weather on for the game. That is something we really got to watch, and that's the snow potential.
Any complications Saturday with the Ravens getting here, or is that storm not getting here until Sunday?
No, so there's the system that's going to deliver this cold air is coming tomorrow, and what we're going to see here, and I don't think it should have any problems getting them here. There is going to be kind of a rain. It's going to be sloppy tomorrow. We're going to see snow in the morning, but in the city or close to the lake, it may be rain for a little while, and then it'll or a combo platter of both, and then it'll kind of transition to snow later in the morning and into the afternoon. I don't think it's the kind of system that's going to cause any travel problems at the airport.
Okay, that said, I don't know if you've looked at it. My apologies, but you know, I'll ask you here. The Eagles play at home against the Rams at 3 p.m. Sunday. Given everything you just said, are we looking at a weather game in Philadelphia?
That is a possibility. That, again, it does look, yes, that is a possibility that we could have some snow for that game as well. Again, this is an evolving deal. This system for the East Coast kind of showed up yesterday. It's like, whoa, where did that come from? That can happen when you're dealing with this kind of cold air. And again, this is the kind of cold air that next week we're going to have high temperatures in the single digits.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have dangerous wind chills next week. We haven't had this kind of cold air in 5 or 6 years,
mm-hmm.
Maybe even longer. So that's when you have that kind of cold, it can do material things with the atmosphere, and that's going to be taking place on Sunday. So, yes, there is the potential of a wintry game for Buffalo and for the Eagles.
It's wild. I'm looking at the Kansas City weather, a high of 51 today of what I'm looking at, but then tomorrow for the game, a high of 24.
That's the cold air. Yeah.
Yeah.
Winter's worst is on its way for much of the country. We might be talking snow in northern Florida next week.
Wow.
Can we
take a peek at early next week? We have a holiday on Monday, and then these frigid temperatures on Tuesday. I mean, we could be even talking like cold days, not snow days for the kids, right?
I think there is the potential of that Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Again, it's been the last time we had a high temperature below 10 in Buffalo was in 2019. So it's been about 6 years. And there's going to be wind with that. So that's where you get those wind chills. It's a wind chill determination for, you know, cold days. Mm-hmm. And I think when you have a 15 to 25 below zero wind chill potential, that could be the case. And you're going to have lake effect snow as well.
Hmm.
The lake is going to freeze up, or we're going to gain a lot of ice next week, but not in time to keep a lake effect snow from kicking in next week as well.
All right. So get your gear and your shovels ready next week. Okay. And then real quickly here, let's just kind of hope maybe, you know, the Texans go to Kansas City, they knock off the Chiefs, the Bills win. We're back here in Orchard Park in a week from Sunday. What are we looking at?
There is so much weather in front of me over the next 7 days.
Yep.
I can admit that I haven't really peaked towards this weekend. I will say it does moderate next Thursday, Friday.
Okay.
But then there may be some more cold air behind that. So I love the idea of looking forward to that, but I've got to get through the preface before the main part of the book, if you know what I mean.
So, hey, so do the Buffalo Bills. So do the Buffalo Bills. It's all good. It's all good. You know, we can kind of look ahead every once in a while here on the radio, but I totally get it. And there's a lot of different things that could change what happens over the next several days and into next week. Pat, thank you so much. And I'll say to you what I said to Sean McDermott. I look forward to talking to you about a football game next Friday.
That's what we will be doing a week from right now. I know it.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Have a great weekend.
All right. Bye-bye.
You got it. Pat Hammer, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist, Sal Capaccio, Josh Schmidt producing. We'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.